Seems like he got connected. So, welcome to the podcast, Richie. How's it going?
All right, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Little bit.
All
It's
right,
not.
Richie, thank you for joining us on our podcast.
No, thank you guys. I mean, it's probably the under the circumstances, but yeah, you know, glad to be here.
Definitely. Yeah, we're all trying to, you know, survive, man. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, but I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, I see it as it, you know, being a good time for us in general to like get back to, you know, I think if anything I learned from this was getting even more closer with family. It was weird because we're like, everyone is like, I have a tight family, but you don't really know them. And now you're like, you're around your family every day now. So it's like, you know, you get to spend more time. So, I mean, for me, it's a plus in that sense. I'm not really bothered by the whole not being able to go out and stuff. I mean, because I'm a homebody anyway, but it sucks. Like, it'll be a Friday or Saturday. I'm like, man, I want to go out and eat somewhere, sit down, and, you know, you can't, but it is what it is.
That's true. I'm like, I miss playing soccer, bro, to be honest. This is one of the things that I miss the most. And I don't know how long it's going to take, you know, and now we're seeing like events like Comic-Con get canceled, and it's just,
oh, I just see, yeah,
away,
I've
you know,
seen
like
that this morning.
3 months away. So
I was just surprised it took them that long to cancel it. I mean, everyone else was seeming to
cancel everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to see. I think what's going to happen is they're going to give the option for people to get a refund or get priority to get tickets for next year. I guess it just moves your tickets to the next year's event or something like that. So I think those are going to be the options. But, I mean, I guess nobody can really complain, right? We got to stay healthy and strong.
Well, I think it actually helps Comic-Con because in the sense every year it's like I'm one of those people that I'm like, I don't see nothing new. So I think having a year off will actually refresh it for next year when people come back. They'll be like, oh, this is why I come to Comic-Con, not just to be seen in my costume, or, you know, maybe it'll actually help it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I guess it sucks for the city, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I was just wondering with all the homeless, you know, being in there, like, what kind of image that was given out, like, you know, I don't know, seeing that.
Well, the homeless are, like, you know, to be honest, there's a big population here in San Diego, and it's because of the weather, and, I mean, they're prone to have all kinds of other diseases, not only COVID, you know, so,
yeah,
I mean,
like, being
inside the
convention
center, I mean, they're gonna have to clean it, like, you know, they're gonna have to sanitize it or whatever. But I don't know how long that process is gonna take, and you know, so
you'll always have one or two people that are like, oh, homeless were sheltered here, and it's just, you know, it's like I said, better than doing it next year and probably make it more of a even bigger event.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting to see what's gonna happen next year. Because, I mean, even the guests is probably gonna be some people, emerging people that from COVID, you know, like maybe some YouTubers or stuff, or, you know, I don't know. Comic-Con is changing, so some new people are gonna become like stars out of all this mess.
Oh, yeah. And besides, I don't think this year they had any really big reveals as far as, like, movie-wise. Because I think already we had already seen most of the trailers for Black Widow. I don't think there's other comic book movies coming out for quite a while. So I'm like, you know, it kind of helps that them taking a break. I know I still haven't seen the new, what is it, that Harley Quinn movie? Oh, but I keep hearing
Birds of Prey.
I haven't even seen that one either.
I keep hearing it's good. I keep hearing it's bad. So I'm like, yeah, I'm like, okay, what would they have gone out this year? I mean, the only thing that they would have probably shown was probably some of the Disney Plus. But I think there's some there. Outside of that, I don't think there was any good major action movies, like comic book movies coming out this year.
I was looking forward to see what kind of exclusives they're going to have, or if they already manufactured some of them and what's going to happen with that. That's my main thing, you know. I go get some of the exclusives and stuff for myself and sometimes to resell, to be honest, but a lot of people do that, so.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that I'm like, okay, at least they would always have some sort of figure reveals, but I think they might either do it an online thing, but who knows what they're going to, I mean, hoping they might do still something online, but it's still what, July, still a couple months away, so I don't know what might.
Who knows if they even manufactured like the stuff or not. So I think I also want to talk to you more about like when you started collecting, because I know you were on one of the other episodes before this. And you explained your process, but you only explained about collecting since Star Wars, like the first Star Wars figures came out in the 70s. And but you never went into if you ever changed or if you ever collected anything else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much when my first niche into collecting was the original Star Wars, the 3¾ ones, and then I never gravitated to the G.I. Joes. I liked the accessories that came with it. I was like, wow, they give you guns and weapons and all this. The only thing I could never really get past was the little pins that were visible, like on the shoulders, and I know that it was to give more articulation, because with the original Star Wars, you only had the arms and legs and the head move. That was it. But with G.I. Joe's, you can bend the knees, you can bend the elbows, sort of an ab crunch, but I just didn't like the way it looked. I'm like, it's got all these pins on the side, but I had a few of them, and I only was really into the villains. I only had Destro, Zartan.
Okay. Can you hear us, bro?
Yeah, I'd seen that little signal going.
Okay, we had a lost connection. That's what I was talking. That's what happened to us last time, me and Benjamin, and happened to us twice. So that's why we decided to change the audio, and that's why it was pretty shitty for the last episode, but I mean, we did what we could, you know, so good thing that we got connected again. So you were saying about the action figure that changed colors?
Yeah, so I had, I believe it was Zartan, and the thing I liked about him was that if you put him to like direct sunlight, the little plastic armor on his chest would change color. So I liked that, and then I had the twins. I forget their name. I think it was Tomax and Zaymot. And outside of that, I only collected a few G.I. Joes. I never liked the good guys. I always was gravitated because the bad guys, they always gave them like nice, their uniforms look really nice. They look all, you know, like they were like real colorful stuff. So that was like, okay. And then after that, I sort of got into the WWE figures, but the first ones, which were like, I want to say they were about 8, 10 inch figures, and they were rubbery, and that they didn't do much. They were just whatever pose they came in. Yeah. That was about it. After that, I never really...
They were like real heavy and stuff. And...
Yeah, you can knock someone on the head with it. And...
Oh my god! Yeah, especially like the big ones like Kamala and you know, heavier guys like that. Like they put a lot of, weight on them.
Well, I think the heaviest one I had was the King Kong Bundy one. He was pretty heavy.
Yeah, the King Kong Bundy one. Yeah.
Did you ever weigh him, like officially weigh him?
I wish I had, but I know that they were easily can be like, I want to say like 4 to 5 pounds each, just in weight, because it was like a really, it was silicone. It was like rubber silicone, but it was like, they were really heavy.
Yeah. I think I did hit my brother a couple of times. Like the back part of it, the butt.
Right. And then after that, I kind of took a break from figures in general. I was like, I got more into trading cards. So like basketball, baseball. But it was mostly.
Are you collecting again cards or no?
I want to, but just I want to buy like say the players I grew up with. So like say, I don't mind buying like a Fernando Valenzuela baseball card, but just to have it to remind me of like when I used to buy them. But I used to buy them to actually resell. I would be like, oh, this is worth this. And I remember, I think the big magazine back then was the Beckett trading card magazine, because they would tell you each month if a card went up in value, went down in value. And that's why I used to hit the swap meets, because a lot of the people selling there would resell sports cards. And I was like, I got into that. I was like, dang, did somebody wants to pay $20 for a card that I got in a pack for like a dollar something? Pero it got to the point where it was like, that's all it became. I wasn't even interested in the players anymore. I'm like, this card is worth 50. This card is worth 20. You know, that's what I wanted. But then I'm like,
Richie, have you ever done a sports memorabilia like baseballs or a bat?
Yeah, but I think by the time I started getting into that, I was already on my way out of sports thing. Because I had I had an experience where I had gone to the swap meet up in this was at the South Bay at the drive-in. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to sell I think I had a David Robinson rookie card which I had, and then I was trying to make a deal with the seller, and there's literally these like three kids, maybe 5, 8, and 9 years old, and they're literally parecía como like a stock market, like, hey, I got this card. These little kids and
stuff. Little hustlers and stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, they're not even old enough to even know these guys, and they're all like trading, like, and I was like, I remember being their age, and the baseball cards were used to put on your bike to make that little clanking noise. So when I'd seen that, I was like, you know what? I realized that I didn't have a love for it.
Yeah.
And even back then, it was only a couple. There was only, I guess, the most famous one was Topps. And then you had, I think at the time, the biggest that was coming out was Upper Deck for baseball cards.
Yeah. I think they had Fleer also.
Yeah, they had all these. There was only like a few.
Topps is still around.
Pinnacle.
Yeah, Topps is still
around. But yeah, Upper Deck, they changed the game. I think they were like a Todd McFarlane kind of, thing where, because the images on the cards and just the way the card was made, they made it seem like a more
collectible.
Yeah, like a more collectible card, because Topps, they would come out with like basic stuff that,
yeah,
they look good. But yeah, Upper Deck, man, they blew the roof.
Well, Topps was like a basic card stock. It was just like like the it was just so basic. And when Upper Deck came out, the pictures were actually like not HD, but for that time they came out, it was like camera quality pictures of the baseball players, the stats on the back, really nice. They like, and they used to have a little hologram, little diamond hologram to let you know that it was a real, you know, it wasn't a knockoff or a, or, you know, and they were really nice. And they were like, I think they were like $3 when they came out for a pack.
Yeah. But man, if you had gotten some good ones in Upper Deck, yeah, the prices were like, especially like the rookies and the hotter rookies.
Yeah, I think the only one I really wanted at the time was the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card.
Yeah, no, sports cards are coming back, bro. But I mean, like you said, it's better to collect the stuff that you like, because you won't get bored.
Oh yeah, I mean then from then I got into comics, and that's when I had my peak of like comic books. I think that's when I started getting into, like, I didn't get into Marvel yet, but I was like, I was already reading X-Men and Cable and stuff like that. And that's when I actually gone to my first Comic Con back in like 90 or 91. And back then you can still go in on a walk in on a Saturday and Sunday and buy a ticket, just, you know, just walk in. Because back then it wasn't how it is now, where it's all, you have to buy your tickets in advance, and unless you had a ticket or a pass, you can't go in. Back then you can just, hey, show up the day of the event, pay a couple bucks and walk around. But on it, I mean, it was just small vendors, Udo Comics, trading cards, a couple figures here and there. But I mean, back then it was so different. And I was like, that's when I got into comic books. And I was like, after that was when I was like, I pretty much let just, I was like, okay, I got to grow up a bit. I'm already out of high school. I got to, you know, learn about life, you know, pay bills and all that. Took a back seat for a while, and until I think the first, not vintage wave of the Star Wars, but the, it was after that, those horrible Power of the Force figures came out. Because the Power of the Force ones, they were all steroided Star Wars figures.
Oh my goodness. What you were saying?
No, and then after that was when I got back into collecting again the smaller 3¾ ones.
Okay.
So I had a good collection of a bunch of them.
That's pretty cool. And then now, because in the last video you were explaining your process of how you got into customization. Explain a little bit of how Southtown Paint Apps got created and what you're trying to do with that.
Yeah, so like I had told you and Benji, my initial reason why I got into customizing was because I had remembered back when I was little, I had the original Obi-Wan Kenobi action figure. But that one was like, he was painted orange. He had all these weird colors. He wasn't like when I'd seen the movie. And I always was like, even as a little kid, todo necio, this doesn't look like him. I mean, at least the Darth Vader figure was all black. The Princess Leia wasn't painted white to look like if she was wearing her gown. But oh, the Obi-Wan was an orange colored. I'm like, he didn't wear any orange. So when I got into one day I was watching, I believe I had said it was Shardimus Prime, when I seen he was doing action figure reviews, and I was first of all, I was blown away. Was like, wow, people review figures. And then he would start saying, oh, I like this one, but I don't like the paint apps. And I didn't understand what that meant. I'm like, is he just saying he doesn't like the paint, like the brand of the paint? But then I started, like, you know, remembering how I didn't like figures that don't look or aren't at least painted the way that they should. So it's por decir, if I see a Deadpool, I mean, like say a Daredevil action figure, and if he's painted, let's say green, I'm gonna say that's not Daredevil. That's just you know, somebody just painting him green. So that's how I sort of got into it. Like, I want to start painting them, and then so it was a lot of trial and error. I bought those cheap Walmart paints; they weren't working. I had actually bought model car paints, putting them on my Marvel Legend, and watching the paint actually eat the plastic up. So I was like, I almost gave up. I'm like, and then one day I'm like, let me just take it slow.
That you gave it another shot, right? And you got the acrylic paint, and then that one was also like a bust.
Yeah, because I was like, I didn't know the process of sanding and priming and all that. It wasn't until I had friends who work in auto shop on their cars, and they like, dude, I'd be like, hey, do you just, if somebody wants a red car, do you just put red? They'd be like, no, you have to sand it down. You have to take off the original color. You have to prime it. I was like, you have to do all that? They're like, yeah. And then that, he goes, because you got to make the paint stick on it. And so I was like, okay, let me try it on my action figures. And again, trial by error, I would buy sandpaper, but I would buy the really gritty one instead of like buying like the really fine. And you know, it was all trial and error. And then I did my first one, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, más o menos, I have an idea of what process to do. And then a lot of it was research and actually asking other customizers, hey, how do you do that? You know, how do you paint? How do you...
How was that process? Like, was there some people that ever gave you like a hard time about like asking questions, or was everybody pretty fine?
I'd say 90% of customizers were big a-holes.
I was hoping that you would say the opposite, bro, but that's the reason why I asked, though.
Because a lot of these customizers, they don't want to give up their secrets.
But there's no secrets, bro. Like,
I mean, but you know? I mean, that's, I guess, you know, they went through the process. I mean, when I started doing my customizing, like, if anybody asked me questions, I'd answer them. But I went through the same process also. Like, you know, you asking people, and then they didn't want to give up anything.
The thing is that, like, if you think about it, it's like you have the talent and you can explain it. And if they don't do it, if they don't apply it, if they don't actually do the work, they're not going to be able to do it. So even if you give them your secrets or whatever, all the knowledge, if they don't apply it, they're not going to be able to do it. You know?
I had to go through, you know, people who did cars also, like professional cars, you know.
Yeah. Whenever I
did my customs on my hobby, because, dude, I was making so many mistakes. And, you know, it was one of the main mistakes that it kept on happening to me. And I don't know why it was happening, but whenever I would spray on the paint and it would start cracking and wrinkling.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was saying, like, damn, what am I doing wrong? Or am I grabbing the wrong paint? And you know, some of the times, like, you have to read the can, too. You know, the can gives you some of the information that you're looking for instead of, like, you asking. But still, like, the weather has a lot to do with, especially on metal. I don't know, on plastic, like, figures. But on metal, the weather has a lot to do. If you're spraying on a cold weather day, or if it's like I don't know, like if it's going to rain or whatever and you're spraying, since the car is cold, it'll mess up your paint job.
Yeah, the temperature around will actually make the metal not help with the paint sticking, because there's moisture on the metal.
Like almost the weather has to be like perfect to you know, to apply paint on there.
Yeah, because if it's too hot, then it starts drying too quickly without it settling, and then you'll have clumps of paint on your on the
Yeah.
model cars. So it's like, yeah, I know that whole process of how even the weather affects how you paint.
So, what are you Southtown Paint Apps? I know that you have your group on Facebook and stuff, and I think you have your Facebook page, and it's just basically documenting your process on how you do customs and stuff. I saw that some of your figures have like magnets on them. How can you explain a little bit about that? And is that something that you're planning to do like on all the customs that you're doing, or just some of them?
I think that's something that I've always I think one of the things I'm like with figures, it's people ask for one of two things. Either people want a lot of accessories, whether it be guns, weapons, they want a lot of that, or they want alternate faces for the action figures. I'm like, one of the reasons I was like, okay, I like one of the easiest things for me to do is put two or three heads, but unfortunately a lot of them, the peg holes on the bottom aren't the same size as the peg ball on the actual figure. So it means I'm have to either Dremel or I have to add some sort of clay in there to make the pocket fit the ball. And sometimes it's just way too much work trying to figure out, okay, this head fits. And then some heads will fit nice and some heads won't. There's not enough gap in there. So it looks like you'll put one on and it fits perfectly, like the anatomy of a head onto a neck. And then you'll have another one where the head sits too high. And then he's looks like he's got a giraffe neck and it's the same figure. So with magnets, I'm like, okay, I can eliminate, because I start gluing them into the heads, and then once those set in, it's easier for me to, okay, I can level off the neck and then put another magnet there and work it that way where you can change the heads. And I'm like, my next step is to eventually go into casting weapons, because I'm like, Marvel doesn't give you that many good weapons nowadays, or they give you those alien type of looking guns and all that. And I'm like, you know, I want to be able to make customs and give actual nice weapons to go along with them. So that's my next step, is
Yeah.
to do
Do
more casting of actual
you ever?
accessories.
Yeah. Damn, that's pretty cool. Like, especially with the G.I. Joe line that's coming out and stuff, I think that you can do a lot of stuff.
Oh, I'm already imagining, I think it's the Roadblock. I'm like, he looks nice. I'm not gonna say anything, but I'm like, I'm already imagining, okay, paint those guns or paint, you know, it's just, I'm already seeing things with them. I think like they really went strong with that Snake Eyes, because that Snake Eyes, although he looks comic enough, he almost looks like if he was like a movie based figure. So it's like right in between, and I'm like, that's really cool, because some people only like comic versions and some people like the movie versions. So with those other G.I. Joe figures, I'm like, okay, they have that retro look of the original ones, but they have enough potential where, you know, a little paint work on it and they will actually look, you know, you actually bring out more of the details in that figure.
Yeah, I from what I've talked to from like multiple people, I think they've only been mostly excited for that Snake Eyes and the Roadblock. I think the other figures that came out weren't or aren't going to be as popular. But like you said, if you add some paint, then maybe you can actually do something with them.
Yeah, I think I forget which is the girl in the wave. She looks almost too cartoony the way her colors are, but actually give her like some nice dark tones, and it, I mean, it don't it ha it the sculpt and everything is there. It's really nice. I just think for me the colors, they're like, they're, but you got to realize that they're marketed to look like the old retro figures, and then they're
And
all.
if
marketed for the young kids.
Eventually, they're going to start coming out with all their interpretations, just like Marvel Legends and the other 6-inch figure lines that come out, like the DC stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think, yeah, because even DC, they'll make, I think the Batman figures I really like are the ones that are inspired from the Arkham Asylum video games. And even the movies, they're really nice. But every once in a while, I mean, I do like an original Batman with his, you know, the original black and gray, or even the blue and yellow ones.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, the interchangeable head, so you're just going to do basically more stuff with the magnets and more stuff with for accessories is your main goal?
Yeah, I think the magnets, I've already done 3 of them with doing interchangeable heads. I think, but what I want to do is invest in different size magnets. So say you want to replace an arm and then put a different arm, but I don't want to go too far ahead right now. I'm like, let me just focus on interchangeable heads right now, and then you know, after that,
dude, it's a good idea though. It's a good idea.
Yeah, so
but like just taking it slow.
Yeah, I'm like, because I really want to go back and actually do dials. I have like, I want to say like 8 of those squares of insulation foam that they're just collecting dust, because I'm like, I want to do dials, but I'm like, it just takes me too much time. And then I'm like, I'm trying to finish one figure and I'm like, okay, I have a dial to make. And I'm like, I'm just like, I need to stick to one thing. And then, but a good friend of mine, he actually stopped customizing action figures altogether just so he can dedicate to doing dials. And he's actually making good. He's making a nice profit from it, actually. And he's only making like really small ones, but he's focused his attention from customizing figures to just dials. And I'm like, I want to do one, but I'm like, I just don't have time, but I have everything for it.
I don't think so. Just thinking, if it's not Jared,
right?
No, Javier was asking if that guy was Jared,
your friend.
No, no, I've heard a lot of that kid, so I'm like, no, this is a guy who he lives out there in the East Coast, but he's a really good he was a really good customizer. He mainly focused on Spider-Man and Power Rangers, but he got out of the whole collecting stuff, and now that he's focusing on little, because I think that right now the big thing is the Spawn from the Mortal Kombat game, so he's making these little Mortal Kombat dioramas.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty cool, man.
I actually saw Jared today.
Oh, you saw him?
Yeah, Walmart.
At the Walmart.
Yeah, he was doing a diorama of what's it called? Alien? Predator.
Predator.
Yeah, it was pretty
cool. For somebody or like,
I have no idea. But it looks like it's like a skull, or you know, it looks like a predator kind of thing.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
My thing was, when I had heard of this Jared, I thought he was an older person, and then somebody was like, no, he's still like in high school or something.
Yeah, he's right now he's still in high school, but he's gonna graduate. Well, if everything goes right with his online stuff or the stuff that he has to end with the curriculum, but then he'll be deploying. He's gonna join the military.
Oh, okay, that's good. But no, the way people would talk to me about Jared, I thought he was an older guy who had like years of customizing.
No.
So I was really anxious at the time. I'm like, hey, so I forgot who had mentioned to me, dude, you got to meet this guy. And I was like kind of nervous. I'm like, dude, I barely started customizing. And then I think about a couple months ago, I found out he was in high school. I'm like, oh man, here I'm all scared about high school kid.
Nah, trust me. He one day you guys have to link up. He'll learn a lot from you. Like, don't he's good for his age, you know. Like, to be honest, I can't complain. Like, he's really good for his age, but he definitely can learn some stuff, especially probably on how to take off or unassemble the figures. I'm pretty sure he's learned some stuff because he has made a lot of progress.
Yeah, but from the first time
that we've met him, he does right. Like for me, his dials have been the best things, and then his customs for the action figures, they've definitely improved a lot since the first time that he's done them. So he still has to learn. But
yeah, and that's one thing. I learned from my own experience, like how we were talking earlier, when I would ask people for advice, a lot of the customizers, like I said, they were douchebags. Even if I asked a simple question like, hey, what brand of paint was that? And they'd respond to me with, oh, well, it's just a mixture of old paints. And I'm like, I would tell my wife, these guys acting as if I'm going to ask him what paint, I'm going to buy that paint and I'm automatically going to paint like him. I'm like, I don't know why a lot of guys are like that. So when with a kid like Jared, I'm like, I can see me giving my own experience to him because of the way I was treated by other customizers, where they're like, they wouldn't tell you anything. I'm like, okay, if there was a certain technique, because there's two main guys that I follow. One is Mike De La Paz, and one of them is Christina Conan. Their specialty is sculpting female hair. Like, their technique is like out there. Like, they take off the heads that come off the female Marvel Legends, and they own female sculpts, and it's really nice. And I'm like, okay, I can understand that, someone asking them, hey, how do you do it? I can see them being a little bit like hesitant to not tell you, because maybe it's, but I'm like, but most of the time it's a technique. You either know it or you just got to learn, you know, you just got to learn. A lot of them are like really douchebags. So when somebody asks me, they'll message me privately, hey, how did you do this? I don't mind telling them. I'm like, it's not a secret. It's not, I don't hold, you know. There's no
a lot of times right now, some of the stuff too, not everything, but a lot of the stuff that maybe you have a question about, you can find it out on YouTube. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, put their stuff out there on how to do it.
That's how I've been doing the drawings with my daughter.
Right, right.
The ones that she wants. I just put out a video on like how to draw this character, and then I just start doing the lines the way the guy is doing them. I try to do it by myself, and it doesn't come out exactly the same, but I mean, I can't complain, to be honest. But I mean, that's with everything, you know, you learn in the process, but the only way you're going to learn is if you get into the trenches and you actually put in the work.
Yeah. It's just that's just how it is. It's just trial and error. And some customizers are afraid to tell people that. And I'm like, I don't mind telling some person, hey, how do you do it? I'm like, well, I can tell you, but your biggest experience is going to be trial and error. You're going to have to do, you know, you're going to mess up at first. It's only natural. I mean, that was my mistake when I first started. I'm like, I wanted this figure the way it looked in my head, and it didn't come out. So that's when I almost like quit for a while. But it wasn't until, like I said, I took my break and I'm like, why am I doing this? And then everything was like, okay, one step, learn one technique, move on to another one. Okay, so I know now what paints to buy. Now I know what brushes, you know. So, you know, you learn along the way. And that's probably the best advice I can give anyone. I'm like, I can show you and give you hints, but bottom line, you got to put in the work. You know, you got to, it's like no different than when we teach our kids how to ride a bike. in their mind, the little kids want to get on the bike and pedal, but they're going to fall. They're going to fall, and, you know, till they get it right. And then after a while, they're like, look at me. I'm riding my bike. And, you know, that's how it is.
Hey, Rich, yeah, question. Do you ever think about going like out of the box on your paints, or are you like, do you want to keep it like the way it is, like classic or whatever? Like, for example, like a Daredevil, have you ever thought about making a chromed out custom paint job, or do you like his suit the way it is already?
I think at first I want to make them look close to what they almost look. So say in general, like the Daredevil one, he sort of has a reddish maroon. We know what he looks like, but eventually, yeah, I want to be able to make, say, do something different with them, not just make the same, give him the same look each time.
I'm assuming that the first interpretations that you do are the ones that you grew up with, or the ones that you cherish the most.
Oh yeah, I think that'll always. I think that's why I don't touch my Star Wars Black Series one yet. I'm like, they look so much like the way I grew up. I've only customized, I think, one Star Wars figure. Everything else is Marvel, because at least Marvel, they give you variants. Like, maybe it's a red suit, maybe it's a blue suit. Mm-hmm. But with Star Wars, it's almost the same look. They only have one look, unless they change a costume. But, you know.
Yeah, like with my customs, I don't like to do what everybody else is doing. I like to do like my own thing. I like to, you know, go crazy with certain things. The only thing is, like, people who like classic, let's say classic cars or classic, they don't like it, and they're the ones that are the always.
Yeah, they're not keen. They're always change.
Like, complaining. Yeah. Like a Mustang, oh, the 67 Mustang always had like a red paint job or whatever. And the tires aren't supposed to be those tires. And, you know, like, I'm not going for that. I'm going for something that I like, you know. I want a Spectraflame red or green, you know, with these kind of tires. And, you know, but, yeah, there's a lot of people. They have their different tastes and stuff like that. But I never like to go with just the normal. I always, you know, want to go crazy with something.
Yeah, and I think that's why I think of when I watch, like on Instagram, and I follow all these customizers, I mostly click the like button on when somebody makes their own version of a Iron Man, or their own vision of what they want this character to look like. Because I think those, to me, are like, okay, they're putting some of their input into how they want it to look, which is like, one of the best examples is the Joker from the Dark Knight movie. He had his own little look, but if you see in his character, he still has like the colors green. He still has the colors purple, a nod to the original Joker, but, you know, they made, Christopher Nolan made it his way, the way he wanted the Joker to look like. Even though it's his own version, you can still see bits of the original. Like, hey, yeah, this is a little throw out to those that grew up only knowing the Joker from the TV, series or the cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's probably like the ultimate goal for each customizer, you know, to do their own well, at least it should be, you know, because if you're doing your own thing and you're doing your own interpretation, then it doesn't even really matter what other people think, you know?
Oh, yeah. I encourage customizers, even those that are just beginning and they said, you know what, I just switched this head from this action figure to the one I'm working on. And they're happy. And I'm like, well, that's how it should be. If you're happy only changing the head, then hey, it's the way you want it to look like, you know, and that should make you happy. It is a custom because now you've made it the way you want it to look. Now, you might have not done a lot of prepping work for it. You might have not had to do a lot of taking apart, but it's now the car that you want, that you're going to be happy to display. And that's the whole point. It's like, you know, so nowadays, yeah, I say even if you change a little bit, I'll say, yeah, it's a custom because it's now the way you want it to look like. Before, I used to say, no, yeah. Just you're just mixing, matching. But then I realized, wait a minute, I'm actually discouraging somebody doing something that I enjoy doing. And I'm like, exactly. And I'm like, I felt that way when these customizers would tell me and they would be douchebags. I'm like, now I'm doing it right back. And I'm like, no, I'm like, no, if you just change the hand, the legs, I don't care what, it's a custom because it's the way you want it to look like. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have that smile, you pose it, you take pictures of it. People make stop motion videos with their Hot Wheels. I mean, and then that to me is like the big payoff.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel the same way. Is like people have to start somewhere. I mean, even if you're starting with wheel swaps, even if you know, you have to have your basis of where you started. I mean, it's exactly like you said. If you discourage somebody, you know, that's where, you know, they were doing it to you.
Yeah, and you don't know where that person might be 10 years down the line. They might have their own line of action figures or Hot Wheels.
Yeah,
that's true. You just never know. I think we're going to have to end it on that note. And I wanted to do a quick shout-out. Shout-outs to Tiny Toy Tires. I don't know if you guys know this guy. I mean, I've been messaging him and DMing him back and forth. But he lives in Maine, so it's just crazy how we actually have like somebody who tunes in that's from like another state. I feel like that's pretty cool.
Thanks for all the questions and all the responses. Also, Prestige Events, thanks for tuning in. Green Eyed Leo, Chocolo, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for everybody for watching.
Do you have anything else to add, Richie, or that you wanted to say?
Yeah, I'll just plug my Facebook page and my Instagram. So it's just Southtown Paint Apps. And thank you guys, because I think the whole idea of podcasting, when you guys first started, I was like, I don't know about it. And secretly, I did like 4 or 5 of my own little podcasts, and I'm like, I think I kind of like this. So it's like, it's a different venue because it's hard for me to talk about customizing through a podcast. I think what I do needs to be seen visually.
You got to do videos, bro. That's what I was going to tell you in the middle and I forgot, but good thing that you brought it up and it's good that you're aware of that. So I think a video would really help, especially on the action figures as well.
I know. I'm like, I need to invest in a small camera that I can just have it mounted and
If you need help, bro, if you need help, just DM me. You can do everything on your phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I want to take advantage of that stimulus check too. So buy a nice camera.
Well, it's up to you. But like, if you want to do it on your phone and you don't want to spend any money, I can give you all the apps, everything that you need in order to make the videos.
Yeah, because I use the cheap stuff that's built in on my laptop, and I'm like, I don't have time to do stuff like that.
You're just gonna have to learn how to use the apps and stuff. But it's pretty self-explanatory. But like you said, if you put in the time, you'll learn. That's what I've been doing this whole time. All this, the apps that I've been using, I didn't know how to use them before. I just started and just kept going.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, and beyond that, I mean, just like I said, shout out to you guys, because I mean, you guys have been doing this for a while. Shout out to Benny, because he was basically the one that got me into groups here. I'm like, I didn't even realize there were toy groups around here, stuff like that. And
yeah,
big shout out to Caesar and George, who I mess with them every day on Facebook. I'm like, I don't think anyone can make a live video on the collector showroom, because I'm gonna be there, and I'm like, if I see Caesar there, oh, here we go. If I see George there, I'm like, But I also want to encourage other people to do more videos. And I'm like, I know I bit my tongue. I was supposed to do one last Friday, but I'm like, with my scheduling, as far as like trying to, because I have like two orders I'm working on, so sometimes I don't have time to do a quick video. But I know that I'm like, I want to see more people, you know.
You should get yourself a little tripod, poner tu celular,
yeah,
your cell phone, and just record. And even if you're not gonna use it, you can, like, if you're not gonna talk during that time, you could just make a video where it's just like, what is it called? Where you get a time lapse or whatever.
Yeah, time lapse, yeah.
And yeah. I mean, that could be some content as well.
My wife gets on me. She's like, you need to take pictures of before you worked on it, and on the middle of it, and then at the end. I'm like, yeah, I'll take pictures. I take pictures, and then sometimes I'm like, oh,
you get too into it.
Yeah, I get into it, and I'm like, I want to. That's part. I think that was one of the main reasons I did my own page, was because I wanted to show before and afters. And I'm like, well, it sucks that I don't take 5 minutes to take a picture, but. Beyond that, yeah. Just, you know, hope or, you know, San Diego gets back to what it is. I think for me, the biggest thing was not having the Rocket Con, more than the Comic Con, the San Diego.
I think, you know, because, and I feel the same way, and not that I'm saying that Rocket Con is better than Comic Con by any stretch of the imagination,
yeah,
but it was so close, and there was people who I actually did want to meet, so... I think that's what really bummed me out.
And I think this year, when I'd seen the list of people that were supposed to go, I'm like, okay, this ain't no little toy show. It's you know, it's up there. It's getting there.
And it was diverse too. Like, they had a diverse amount of stuff that was gonna happen. So we're just gonna have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully it's one of those things that. Yeah, I mean, obviously it was postponed, but hopefully by the end of the year it can be redone, you know.
I have to wait till next year.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to wait and see, bro. But thank you again for your time, and I hope everybody stays safe.
You're not following us on Facebook or on Instagram also. We're there, beta page, right, on Instagram?
Yeah.
And on Facebook as well,
Beta
Podcast.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for listening.